This is Cave Scott Allen of OTCO.com.
This is Kevin Dente.
This is John Galloway.
This is Scott Kuhn from LazyCoder.com. Hello and welcome to Herding Code. We're recording this at 12.03 p.m. boring American time, 8 p.m. super fun grumpy dev time, and 9 p.m. Swedish chocolate time on September 26, 2011. This week we're talking with Andreas and Steven of the Nancy Project, which is a, I was going to say Sinatra-inspired clone. Would that be appropriate?
Well, Sinatra-inspired, not a clone.
Sinatra-inspired web framework for the .NET platform and Windows. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about you, we won't object. How about if Andreas goes first, because A begins the English alphabet?
Yeah, my name is Andreas. I live in Sweden, and I work as a software engineer, and I enjoy doing open source, so obviously, and that's why I'm here.
I'm Steve Robbins. I'm from the UK. I work for a company called Lightbox Education. I'm a technical architect, although I'm not entirely sure what that means, and I pretty much do what Andreas tells me to do.
Really?
No.
Oh, man. I thought this was going to be a very interesting episode. Make him bark like a dog next. So let's talk a little bit about why yet another web framework. I know the answers, but I'm interested in hearing yours. And what are some of the problems or issues you've encountered with trying to launch or run a web framework on a platform that has a monolithic, or should we call what, legacy monopoly web framework already installed on it and shipping with it, like ASP.NET?
Well, I work on web dev, and we have a huge legacy that I built on web forms. So obviously, you can see where I'm coming from. I've used MVC as well. But the reason that Nancy was born, if you may, it was because the framework is getting in the way of what you want to do. There's too much setup. There's too much, many hoops you have to jump through to get stuff out there. And I wanted a lighter approach to, so I could focus on the application and not the framework I was building it on.
So for those that haven't used Nancy or Sinatra, I mean, can you describe kind of the hello world? Like with an ASP.NET MVC application, you'll do file new project and you can hit F5 and the project runs, but really there is a good amount of code and configuration and stuff that's there that's kind of supporting that. Whereas when you do, can you talk about the simple case of, you know, getting, like starting a Nancy project?
So the typical Hello World Nancy application is you create a new empty web project, you install the Nancy NuGet, and then you create a new class that you derive from a type called Nancy module. That's the central type in Nancy. So in the constructor of the module, you'll add a route for the HTTP verb that you want your request to work for, and then you just provide a lambda for the return value. So a basic Hello World application is, you know, 5 lines of code, and then you just hit F5 and off you go.
You can actually fit a small Nancy application in a single tweet, which we did, I don't know, probably 6 months ago, which is quite cool.
We did the Nancy in a tweet stuff. People tweeted small applications with JavaScript.
Wow.
So I think one of the unique aspects of Nancy is that you don't have any external dependencies, or at least no dependencies on system.web. Is that correct? You just got dependencies on the core BCL stuff?
Yeah, it's entirely client profile. So yeah, no system.web stuff at all.
So that I like that idea, because that makes it a lot more portable between platforms, in theory at least. And you could still run into some part, especially in like configuration land or XML land, where you're not quite compatible with Mono, but it makes it a lot easier. Have you tried running this under Mono or any other alternative platforms?
We've run it on Mono, and we've run it on both Linux and OS X, and it works beautifully.
So it's basically bin deploy, right? So if you wanted to sign up for AppHarbor or EC2 or something like that, or Monkey, you could just deploy your entire web app to a relatively cheap EC2 style instance.
Yeah, there are several Nancy applications running on App Harbor right now. And Dale from Manka, I told us the other day that he'd been running it on Nancy on Manka in his private staging area.
So there's the Nancy core package, and then there are other hosting packages on top of that, one of those being ASP.NET. Another that's kind of interesting is Owen. Can you talk about what that is and why that's important here?
I think we got involved in Owen relatively late. I know Scott was involved quite early on with putting the group together, and there was a lot of discussions going on about the actual specification. But essentially, it's an attempt to produce a rack equivalent for .NET, so sort of an abstraction of the underlying sort of HTTP host. So if you conform to sort of the Owen specification at a server level, you can run Owen frameworks, applications, and middlewares. And if you're an Owen compatible middleware application, you can run on any Owen compatible server. We sort of spiked out our Owen host, probably 6 months or so ago, and it's just kind of been sat in the code repository as a working example, but there was nothing to connect it to until probably about 6-8 weeks ago when Kayak, which is Benjamin's server, he got that working with Owen, and the two work together hand in hand. So you can actually run Nancy sort of end to end with no ASP.NET, no HTTP listener, no nothing, just entirely open source code from top to bottom, which is quite cool.
Yeah, and that was kind of one of the early goals of the Owen project, which is exactly the way you stated it, kind of a rack for .NET. So how hard was it? I mean, I know you guys are both geniuses, but how hard was it to really implement the Owen spec and get Nancy ported over? I think it took you like, what, an hour and a half?
it took a stiff drink to get used to the actual delegate signature. I mean, most people probably aren't aware of what Owen actually is, but there's no sort of class library involved, no interfaces. It's just a huge delegate signature from hell, which when you break it down does actually make sense. And once I actually started writing it, it was actually quite straightforward. But when you first see func of action of T and func of action of this and that and the other, it looks quite scary. But yeah, the actual implementation probably took an hour, maybe 2 hours. And then there was sort of a sample host that was essentially just ASP.NET hosting that we could test it on. And yeah, it worked first time pretty much. So yeah, quite good.
So you've got kind of the basic, like you're saying, you know, 5 lines of code or a tweet or whatever that you can build up from. And when I first heard about it, I assumed, okay, that's fine. I can do, you know, print line to the browser. But I mean, you actually support a lot of view engines. You support Razor and Spark and, you know, pretty much all the major view engines out there. And so you can build entire working application. Like you've kind of spanned the range from, you know, very simple, a few lines of code to writing text to the browser all the way up to, I mean, pretty full application, right?
Yeah. Like Nancy at its core doesn't know anything about, well, it does know about an interface called iViewEngine, but apart from that, it doesn't know anything about the actual implementations. So that's the way we add stuff to Nancy. We have a small core, and then we have a nice application pipeline, and you can plug stuff in at a couple of places, and then we just keep adding features by NuGets. So we've added all the major view engines and a couple of smaller ones. The entire hosting stuff is also an abstraction that you just pick a NuGet for how you want to host Nancy. And there's a bunch of other extensions like SAS and Coffee support, protobuf serialization was recently added, forms authentication, basic authentication. All those are just NuGets. So you just pick the features you want, pull the NuGets in, and you can start building larger applications or services with pretty advanced stuff. Anything you could do in MVC, you could do in Nancy right now.
And do you have the opportunity to kind of mix and match? Like, could I have an MVC application and add Nancy to it? I mean, or am I going to get in, you know, big fights with the routing and all that kind of stuff?
No, there are people that are using that exact setup in production right now. So they have added Nancy to a subfolder of their application, and they just configure the HTTP handler for Nancy to just get invoked on a specific route. So it appears to be working fine.
That was one of the things that I really liked about the way Nancy was architected when I looked at it and started playing with it, was that it really did leverage NuGet in terms of using it just basically like a Ruby uses the gem repositories. You need authentication, install the NuGet gem. You need to use this view engine, install the NuGet package. You know, you need to do this or that. If you need to create a new kind of interface for authenticating against a service, you could package it up as a NuGet package and people could just add it in. There wasn't a lot of, you know, with a lot of the current NuGet packages, they're mostly around frameworks like in Hibernate and things like that, where you pull it down and basically it's just a DLL delivery system. It says, here's your libraries. Now, link to them and configure everything and go. Whereas with Nancy, it seemed more like, you know, you just add the package and you get the reference in and, you know, start writing code, which is more the Ruby gem kind of experience, I think.
Yeah, we took that design decision very early on. We introduced a bootstrapper functionality in Nancy. So basically, Nancy is we call it a self-composing framework. So it composes itself at runtime, we've made it so it inspects the environment it's running in and figures out what kind of stuff you've added to it and wires it up at runtime and makes it available for you. It's like view engines. You just pull in the Spark view engine. And Nancy detects that the iView engine implementation is in the app domain, and Nancy thinks, oh, well, so you want to use SparkVue? Fine, so I'll wire it up for you.
So you don't need to go out and register something. I mean, there's no registration list where you say these are my view engines or whatever. It's detected because it sees that it's there.
Yeah, exactly.
That is very cool. That's one of the things that I think is going to really help it take off if we can pluck people off of the ASP.NET teat, so to speak, and get them onto frameworks like Nancy and OpenRasta and other ones that are built on either OWN or alternative hosters. So one of the reasons that I think it's important that we have a variety of web frameworks in .NET is that, each one seems to bring something a little bit different, and it's always nice that they can kind of learn from each other on, oh yeah, I should do it this way because that's the way that they did it in framework Y, and it seems to work a little bit better. And I think that having a lot of that kind of choice means that people get more excited about doing web development, which I'm all for. I'm like, I think web development is going to continue to be the way to go, and I think that Microsoft with Windows 8 kind of agrees with me to a certain extent. Now you're going to be able to write desktop apps that are web-based. Which might bring another interesting point up, but what would be the possibility of using Nancy as the engine for a Win8 Metro style app? We might want to talk about that in a little bit. Well, why do you guys think that, or do you think that having a lot of web frameworks in the .NET development space is a good idea? Or do you just want to be the only one? You want to crush everyone else?
Are we not the only one? That's a surprise. we do get asked quite a lot, sort of, why Nancy? Why should I use Nancy over MVC? You know, why is Nancy, quote unquote, better than X, Y, and Z? But I mean, as far as we're concerned, it's not about the competition. You know, if somebody takes a look at Nancy, quite likes the syntax, has a play with it, and then from there they decide to go and have a play with Fubu or OpenRasta or any of the others, settles with one of those, then brilliant. You know, it's all about trying to expose people to different ways of doing things. I mean, maybe it will turn them over to Ruby land, you know, who knows? Maybe they go back to MVC because they like MVC. You know, it's all about personal choice, really. I mean, we think we've got, with our super-duper happy path, as we like to call it, we think we've got something sort of unique, certainly in the .NET space. It might not be for everybody, and that's fine. If people like the way we've sort of architected the framework and like on a similar wavelength to us, then fantastic. But if learning Nancy makes them go and try new things and they learn from that and become better developers and sort of more excited, as you say, to do web development, then fantastic.
The great thing is that in the open source community for these frameworks as well, there is a very good atmosphere. People are talking cross frameworks with each other and exchanging ideas and solutions to problems there, like that someone else has hit before. I remember when I did file uploading in Nancy, I had no idea how to use multi-part HTTP stuff. And I talked to Sebastian from OpenRasta because he had done it before and he was more than happy to help us out. And we keep exchanging ideas and talking to each other all the time.
You had a post a while ago and you were talking about that the value of open source is vision and not just that the source code is available. Mm-hmm. Does that relate to what you're talking about there?
Yeah, definitely, because everybody can write Nancy. There's no magic in Nancy, but it's what we want Nancy to do and how we want Nancy to do that makes it possible for us to keep going down the same line, because Nancy is 10 months old now and we still see it straight, like way down the line where we want to go with Nancy. So, and that's the vision we're following. And that makes it easier also to work in with the open source stuff, because you'll have a lot of people pulling at your stuff and telling you what it should and shouldn't do. But as long as you have a vision and you follow that vision, you'll be good. But if you let other people blur your vision, then you're in a world of pain for your stuff, if that makes sense.
So I had a question. There's obviously, you know, some, like, by moving away from the ASP.NET core and system.web and HTTPSys, and I mean just really kind of starting from scratch, you've got some kind of ability to take a fresh look at things and kind of learn from some things that have bothered you in the past, and you know, and simplify and streamline and all that. But there are some things that ASP.NET does for you behind the scenes as far as like security. I'm thinking security especially, you know, like preventing cross-site scripting and validation and things like that. Are you kind of on your own with that, or do you pull in something like, you know, anti-XSS library or something to do validation, or does Nancy cover all that kind of input validation and scripts, you know, encoding and that kind of thing?
As far as encoding goes, the one part that's in sort of .NET full and not in client profile that we sort of missed was the HTTP and sort of URL encoding pieces. So we actually took the code from Mono for those and put them inside Nancy. So the same sort of interface into them, but it meant that we could remain client profile. So the interface that we provide to the view engines when they render a view provides the ability to encode output, you know, and Spark and Razor and all of those hook into that. As far as cross-site request forgery goes, that's coming in 0.8, which is out at the end of this week. We sort of rolled our own request forgery token validation stuff. As far as sort of general security goes, as far as cookies and things like that, we use sort of standard .NET classes for encryption, generating HMAX, that kind of thing. So I wouldn't put myself on the line and say we're ultra secure and unhackable. But you know, we've covered most of the bases. Things like the comparison of HMAX is free of early exits and all those kind of things that normally bite you security wise. So fingers crossed, we're not too bad on that front.
Do you use any kind of, I don't know, security tech? I mean, there's obviously just kind of a list of vulnerabilities that you look at. Do you use any kind of, I don't know, automated test, or do you have any kind of any contributors that are really big into security or anything like that?
Not currently, no. I think most of our security stuff I've written. I've bounced several emails off Barry Dorans. He used to be sort of a user group leader over here, so I've met him a few times. So he's been helpful in pointing out sort of mistakes that other people have made to try and make sure that I don't make the same ones. But yeah, it's pretty much all home rolled so far.
So do you have any stats on how many people are actually using Nancy and prod, or you know, how many people are downloading or playing with it or anything like that?
If you give me, just give me 2 seconds. Is that okay?
1001, 1002. All right.
I think it's interesting. The 0.8 release, which we're hoping to push out at the end of this week, I pulled up a statistic of how many contributors we've had. So that's not people using it, but
I think we're up to 16 contributors on Not 8. As far as production, I mean, it's impossible to get any statistics off it because Nancy doesn't call home, obviously. But we know of a couple of systems that are using it in production now, and a couple of more planned, and more people are just starting to use it and play around with to get a feel for a framework.
I mean, myself and Mark Rendell did a session at the Progressive.NET tutorials down in London a few weeks ago, presenting Nancy and Simple.Data together. And it was a full house. It was certainly a popular session. So I think there were a lot of people interested in at least taking a look. As I said, if they don't decide to stick with Nancy and go and do something else, then fine, you know. But the 0.8 release that we should be looking at getting out this week is actually 16 different committers, which is quite impressive for a relatively small and relatively young .NET open source project, I think.
That's pretty good, even for old .NET open source projects.
I think we've had somewhere around 50 unique contributors since we started, and about slightly above 300 pull requests in total since day one. So that's fantastic.
So what would you say was probably the most challenging aspect of writing this framework outside of, you know, just getting it started? Because that's always the hardest part for me, is getting the project started. Actually, no, that's not the hardest part. The hardest part for me is getting it finished. Starting it is easy. I got thousands of projects in my folder that are half done. But so what was the most challenging, either technically or otherwise, for working on this project?
I think for me, there's two parts that are challenging in different ways. There's the HTTP side, which can be a challenge purely because anyone that's ever read RFCs to do with HTTP will know that they can be contradictory, they're difficult to read, and generally not brilliant. And on the other side, the syntax that we try and keep to, the simplicity that we try and get to, and the it just works super duper happy path that we try and really adhere to, can be difficult at times. So sometimes, like the cross-site request forgery, the actual code is quite straightforward, but exposing that functionality in a nice way, you know, with a syntax that we're happy with, can sometimes take 4 or 5 times as long as the actual implementation itself until we get to a version that we're happy with.
There's also limitations in C# or for what we want to do syntax-wise. Obviously, there's a couple of things that we can't do, because there you have to have a namespace declaration or a class declaration. There are a bunch of limitations that we keep wanting to do, like extension properties would be pretty cool, but you can't do it. So we keep hitting a couple of those every time. And so we have to work a bit on getting the syntax we want as well.
When you think about your goals for Nancy compared to the other .NET frameworks like, you know, FUBU and those things, do you have a target in mind? I mean, do you want to be able to do everything that MVC does? You just want to do it in a different way? Or is it more like, for example, when I think about Sinatra compared to Rails, you know, Sinatra isn't trying to be Rails. Sinatra isn't trying to do everything that Rails does. It's trying to do less and do it more simply. So, like, what's your goal there?
Well, I think the goal is to add enough features to do what we needed to do, which sounds a bit preposterous, but I mean, we started with the core of Nancy and sort of this ideal that I've mentioned a few times, the super duper happy path, which is sort of a way of describing something that you can just pick up and use. It should have sort of sensible defaults, but it shouldn't prevent you from doing more powerful things. So everything in Nancy can be overridden, every behavior can be changed, everything can be unplugged and something else plugged in. But on the flip side, all you need to do is add a module, press F5, and off you go. We'll even resolve dependencies for you. So that's sort of the primary driver, is to kind of get that simplicity, try and get some fun into web development. And then on top of that, we need to sort of add the features to be able to build more complicated applications, because we don't want Nancy to be a toy. It's no good having the web framework that could only do tiny little applications. So, you know, the view engine support, the cross-site request forgery, the forms authentication, sort of those things are kind of built on top, as we said, in separate NuGets. So it's more like a sort of a buffet to build a more complicated application. Probably about 6 months or so ago, we did have a discussion of whether to concentrate on things like content negotiation to provide more of an open rastery or web API style interface for doing sort of endpoints for richer applications. But for the short term, we decided to concentrate more on the web application side. So we do have a lot of people that use it as sort of a JSON endpoint for other things. But for the most part, we're concentrating on the web app side for now, and then the endpoint side will come a little bit later on.
So, I mean, speaking about extensibility, I think that says a lot about how things work. Like you're saying, a lot of things are auto-wired up. I see that there's ability to do things like, you know, you can define custom conventions by, you know, creating something that implements default Nancy Bootstrapper or that kind of thing, and overriding. But I was also when you guys talked to, or when Andreas talked to Scott Hanselman on Hanselminutes 270, one thing that I thought was interesting was he talked about the idea of custom responses by using extension methods, and so that every response you can just add an extension method. is that just kind of one place that that's used, or do you use extension methods in other places? Because I thought that's a very simple, lightweight extensibility story, is to just put in some extension methods.
Oh, yeah. We use extension methods a lot. There's the response formatters that you mentioned, that you can do response as image, as CSS, as whatever. We also use it on the NASA module type quite a lot, to things like securing a module, saying that a module requires authentication, or perhaps our model binder is also just a set of extension methods on top of the NASA module. So we use extension methods in quite a lot of places. And like I said, if we could, we'd probably have a couple of extension properties as well. I know that sounds weird, but in the NASA syntax, it would make sense.
I think the extension methods sometimes give us quite a nice readable syntax if you call the extension method from inside that type, if that makes sense. So as Andreas mentioned, the authentication side, the way you say that a certain module is protected and requires a user to be logged in is you just say this dot requires authentication. And requires authentication is an extension method on NANSI module, but the this dot requires authentication is a very expressive syntax. You read that line and it's immediately apparent that this module requires authentication. So we use it as to give us nice syntax as well as for technical reasons.
And then with this kind of thing, like usually when there's kind of magic and conventions, you know, you can get into a spot where you wonder why something's not working. Is there a way to kind of figure out what convention is taking effect, or why, you know, like get in and understand what routing is happening or how my binding is working or that kind of thing?
Yeah, we were hoping to get diagnostics in for the 08 release, but unfortunately we've had to push it one release to the next release after that. But we'll be adding static and trace diagnostics. We've talked to the Glimpse guys as well about getting NANSI wire up for trace diagnostics. So we've had a pretty good couple of conversations with them as well. So there's a lot of diagnostics down the pipe.
Yeah, that's cool that you guys are talking to Glimpse, because they've told me several times, you know, what they've written is very extensible and it really could run with any web platform. And so I'm glad to see that that's being played out here. That's cool.
Yeah, we had a quick chat with them, and their current implementation was tied to ASP.NET, but for no reason, if that makes sense. There was no reason for them to be tied to that. So they were doing some work to abstract the ASP.NET side out slightly, so we can potentially serve our diagnostics up in a way that they can render, but also host Glimpse itself in a NANSI route. So if you're running on top of Kayak or something else, then you can still get access to the same sort of rich sort of Glimpse UI.
That is very cool. Yeah, it seemed like from looking at Glimpse that there wasn't anything that was really tying it to MVC or ASP.NET other than the fact that that's just what they were using at the time. Seemed like you could take it and tie it to whatever you wanted to, basically. So that's good that it's going to be diagnostics in there, because outside of FUBU, there really aren't too many other web frameworks that have the built-in kind of diagnostics like that.
Yeah, I think when we spoke to them, the only things that they were using was HTTP context.items, but they were just using it as a string object dictionary, so it can be anything, really.
So we had a question from Twitter. We had a lot of good questions from Twitter. One's from Bitbonk, and he or she asked to relate or compare NANSIFX with WCF Web API.
Okay. I think Web API is more focused towards the, I don't want to say RESTful, so the HTTP-based endpoints, so things that serve sort of JSON in different formats and things. So you can do that with NANSI, but it's currently not our focus. So, for instance, we don't have content negotiation in yet. That's probably going to be in 0.10, so not even 0.9. So at the moment, we do have a lot of people that use NANSI for that because they like the syntax. But if you want something that sort of conforms to HTTP, and if you request JSON, it gives you JSON. If you request a JPEG, it gives you JPEG. Then sort of the WCF is a better fit. But the WCF stuff is obviously tied to the WCF Microsoft stack. So if you want to move elsewhere or host it elsewhere, then you might have some issues there. But again, it's down to the fact that we're not really competing with any of these frameworks, really. I think what makes us unique is our drive to try and get the syntax and the simplicity and the fun factor. So there may be some technical bits and bobs that we may be missing, but yeah, our syntax is our main selling point, I think.
I mean, we've spiked out a lot of stuff like content negotiations that we've spiked it out before, but we decided not to put the energy or the effort into making a proper implementation at that time, because we had different priorities that we felt was more important for Nancy at that time.
So, like you were saying before, that you can use these different things together, would it be crazy, or maybe crazy like a smart person thing, to mix and match, like have both Nancy and WCF web API in a project? Or would there be, I mean, I guess, it, would there? Do you think there would be just kind of diminishing returns there?
So are you trying to say, would it be better to write services in one or the other, or...
Well, I'm saying, like, you know, maybe you have a project where you've got enough services, you know, maybe you're writing your web stack stuff, you know, your web application stuff in Nancy and your services in WCF Web API.
We've never tried it, but I think they can coexist. I think actually Glenn actually spiked out the WCF Web API using Owen as well. So you may even be able to host Nancy inside the WCF Web API. So potentially you could say this particular URL, anything past this URL, pass into Nancy, otherwise just handle it as a web API. So they should, in theory, play together, but it depends whether you're that insane, really.
Well, the limitation probably wouldn't be on Nancy's behalf, because with the abstractions, the HTTP abstractions that we have, it's built to run anywhere, just as long as you feed Nancy a Nancy request and is able to process a Nancy response, then you can hook Nancy up wherever you want. So a good example is the self-host for Nancy, which basically is a host built on top of an HTTP listener. But using that very small host, you could embed Nancy in any application, or in a Windows service or a WinForm application if you wanted to do that. So Nancy could probably run pretty much anywhere.
Okay, so we got a question from one of my coworkers, Coda Reflection, on Twitter. Sadly, the abusive questions from Twitter are not that abusive as of late. They're all respectful and stuff. It's a little weird. We'll have to start asking Barry Dorans to submit more questions. So he asked basically about testing, and do we have to, you know, go through the pain of trying to mock out HTTP context? And we talked about this a little bit earlier in the show, that you really don't have any dependencies in ASP.NET proper, so you don't have to go through that pain. But let's talk a little bit about the testing and unit testing, TDD, and around that, how much support there is or lack of support in Nancy, and kind of how it was developed maybe from that angle.
Well, testing a Nancy application is quite easy. Obviously, because you have the Nancy module and there are a couple of properties that are set on it at runtime, you could just spawn up an instance of your module and make sure all the dependencies are set. But it could be a bit tricky because the nature of the dependencies. So what we've done is we provide a testing assembly for Nancy that also available as a NuGet. So in that assembly, we have a couple of test helper objects, one of them being a browser class called a browser. So with the help of the browser, you tell it use this bootstrapper, which basically tells it use Nancy in this configuration, and you just fire off requests of that option. So you do browser.get and pass in your route and whatever configuration you want to do. So like tell it that this is an HTTPS request, or use these form values. It's a very fluent interface, and what you get back is a response object where you can do assertions on it. We support assertions from the what's it called, the HTML agility packs. You can do CSS3 selectors on it, for instance, and check that stuff's been rendered out if you're doing a web view, or you could just check like headers or status, the contents of your response, and do assertions based on that. And we provide a healthy set of extension methods again to format the response body into different formats for you to validate as well. And there's also a special bootstrapper that's called the configurable bootstrapper that lets you configure the runtime configuration of Nancy using a Fluent API. So you could easily swap out any part of Nancy with, say, a mock object or a stub or whatever you want, and pull assertions off those as well. There's very few lines of code to do end-to-end testing with Nancy.
I think the syntax of the assertions is quite nice as well. So just looking at one of the demo applications that's part of the main solution on GitHub, it basically calls a login form with an invalid username and password. And then the code to the assertions is just response.body and then hash error box, so standard CSS selector, then should exist once and should be of class floating error. So it makes it extremely readable sort of terse test to test the contents of HTML output, which is kind of nice.
So we got another question from Kevin Poland. He asked two things which are interesting. One is, he said, what's coming next? And then in relation to that, how do you manage feature creep and complexity while still moving the framework forward? So you talked about some of that a little bit, how you decide what to add in, and you've mentioned some things that are coming in future versions. Can you talk about kind of general, what are some next big things that are coming up?
We make very heavy use of the issue features on GitHub, where we plan milestones for the, right now we have milestones for the next three releases. So basically when we get an idea or someone suggests something or submits a pull request, we triage it and decide in which release it fits best. We also use the label system on the issue feature on GitHub to label stuff for what kind of impact there are on the system, if it's a bug, if it's a suggestion or a feature improvement or whatever. And we talk quite a lot between us what we want to do and when, but obviously we get so many pull requests and ideas and suggestions by people that it is quite easy to go off on a tangent if we're not careful, so to say. The upcoming release is probably a bit bigger than we planned for, but there was so much good stuff that we agree was nice additions to Nancy that we decided to add them in for the 08 release. But so it's part planning between the two of us, and it's part making good of whatever people shoot at us.
Yeah, I think Andrea said earlier that the diagnostics was supposed to be pretty much the entirety of the 0.8 release. But I think we've both been surprised at how many pull requests, feature requests, and how much involvement there's been in general from the community. And we do suffer a little bit from magpie disorder at times, but you know, there's so much good stuff that's been coming in that we realize that there's been an awful lot of functionality being added to 0.8 before we'd even finished the diagnostic support, which is why we're making 0.8, you know, another release. But yeah, I mean, we're quite lucky. I don't think we've had that many requests that we sort of flat out said that's sort of against sort of the ethos of Nancy, because most people that use it sort of understand what we're trying to do and why how we're trying to do it. So nobody sort of requested view state or anything like that. So the feature creep and the complexity generally isn't that much of a problem. We maybe spend a few hours debating syntax and how to expose things in sort of a Nancy-ish kind of way, but most things we can take on board quite easily.
Because if we didn't get as many pull requests as we did, things probably would move forward differently. But because we get pull requests of such high quality on such a written steady base, we pick them up pretty quickly, because that's stuff that people actually need to use in production code. So it wouldn't make sense for us not to accept it if it's in line with what we want to do. And if the style of the implementation or the syntax of the feature is in the style we want to. So we encourage people to always talk to us on our user group before making massive amounts of coding for a feature. So I'd rather they bounced it around on the user group for a day or two, so we could hash out all the rough stuff on, like, say, the syntax, and then they go and do the actual implementation.
So while you're mentioning that, I thought I'd ask about that. As far as online resources go, you've got the Google group, which is kind of where all the discussion happens, and also some help support. And then also on GitHub, your wiki, the documentation's really good. You've got an 11-part thing there that talks through an introduction and through some kind of advanced topics there. Is there anywhere else that people should be going to you know, find things out?
Twitter. Definitely Twitter. We tweet about Nancy on a daily basis. We have a NancyFX Twitter account as well that we try and do announcements on. We have the NancyFX hashtag as well that we try to tack on all Nancy-related contents. There's quite a few people, quite a lot of people using the hashtag, so there's a decent amount of activity there as well. But combining the user group with Twitter, and you'll probably get an answer to your question within hours.
There are several screencasts I found, like on Vimeo and on YouTube, some of them going back to like April. Are there any good recent presentations online that you or posts or anything that you're? I also saw Nerd Beers going back a while, which as kind of a demonstration. Is there anywhere you'd point people for kind of learning more?
So there was a guy called Nicholas Cloud, I think his name was. He did a really good quality screencast 6 months or so ago, so it's slightly out of date. So we're hoping that he's going to be able to do our sort of getting started guide in a screencast form for us at some point. We're hoping to get a proper sort of NancyFX website set up in the next few weeks. We've got a guy working on a logo for us. We can't have a website without that logo. So once we've got a logo and the t-shirts printed, we can work on the website. So that will kind of then be the home place that will link to the wiki, link to the videos, you know, that kind of thing. So the URL for that is nancyfx.org. Currently that just points you straight to the GitHub page, but that will be something more in the near future, hopefully.
One thing that I like, you guys make really clever use of NuGet, and I like how it's all kind of layered and built up. I like how some NuGet packages or some development teams kind of have like a sample project as a NuGet. Have you guys looked at doing that, or was there one that I missed?
We've talked about it. The main solution right now has a bunch of sample applications for the various features. There is a main one for the ASP.NET host that we try to keep updated with new features and syntax changes if we do breaking changes. But we've definitely talked about moving them out. We just haven't decided how yet because they're starting to get quite a lot of them. And it's convenient to have it in the solution because it's a lot easier to keep them up to date with the actual source code, because often we make so many changes to Nancy that in between releases that having them in the main solution also helps us keep the samples up to date very easily.
Yeah, well, I think the one thing that's worse than not being able to find documentation and samples for a framework is finding out-of-date ones that don't compile anymore or the interfaces have changed. So, yeah, once development sort of slows down slightly from the sort of the semi-breakneck pace we've got now, then we might do that. But I'd be wary that somebody would grab the latest Nancy NuGet and we haven't had time to update the sample application. It doesn't build and it leaves a sour taste in the mouth straight away. So we're trying to avoid that if we can. So we recommend that people grab the NuGets for sort of building an application, but also grab the code from GitHub. There's plenty of samples in there, snippets of code, and the code is hopefully quite readable. There's plenty of tests in there. The test coverage is good. So poke around, maybe even send a pull request if you're feeling particularly nice.
We got anything else? Should we wrap it up? We're about at an hour here.
I have one more question. Performance. Have you guys performance tested the framework and tested it under load and see how it compares to other frameworks?
Yes.
And how?
And that's all the time we have this week.
We do get that question occasionally. We do test it for performance. We did a performance push on the Vue engines a while ago. And got those all up to sort of similar levels. We don't publish performance stats or benchmarks because I don't think there's such a thing as a perfect benchmark. They're all flawed. And people generally grab benchmarks and performance stats as a stick to beat people with. I mean, I know there was a thread not so long back about IOC container performance, and people were slating IOC containers because in this artificial test, they came out particularly slow. And you know, it's all about real world usage. So yes, it's something we keep an eye on. We use, is it Dottrace, the profiler from JetBrains? So we keep an eye on sort of the hot paths in that. I run benchmarks on my machine to make sure our sort of requests per second don't drop when we add new features. And we have done sort of comparative testing, and we are happy with the performance, but we're not going to say we're faster than X or we're faster than Y or anything like that. I know Mark Rendell does an interesting demonstration where he runs a Nancy route from Kayak and sets a breakpoint in the route itself and shows the core stack in Visual Studio, which is about sort of 12 levels deep all the way through from the socket upwards. And then he does the same thing in an MVC controller, and it's about 40 or 50 levels deep. So that's not an indication of performance, but it shows sort of how sort of close to the metal Nancy is. So
doesn't that mean I'm getting more for my money if I have a deeper call stack?
We'll add a NuGet for you.
Right, right. With a bunch of no ops.
Yep.
Nancy.callstack.
For your enterprise needs.
Okay, anything else? We haven't done the pimp yo stuff section yet. Do you have any upcoming events or speaking engagements or appearances on Britain's Most Talented or anything like that coming up?
I'm in Panto. No, I'm not really. I don't think we've got anything coming up, have we?
Well, we're pretty shy people so far.
We're hoping that maybe Andreas can grease somebody's palm to get us into Wardev next year. But
me too, while you're at it.
Any of you guys coming to Eurodev this year?
I'm not. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's a you need to get invited or you have to submit cool sessions or what, but whatever it is, I'm not doing it. But I'd love to go.
I think they accept call for they have a call for paper period.
Yeah, they've let Rob Connery in.
Yeah, that's true.
How hard can it be at and Glenn and everyone else? So
it's only like a 35-minute drive from where I live, so
wow. I'm an
annual attendee.
What's Rob's talk on? Is it EF migrations, is it?
I think he's doing one this year on how Python is better than Ruby, but I'm not absolutely sure. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, we'll wrap this up and let you get back to your morning commute or your evening commute. Or
it's 10 p.m. in Sweden now.
So tune in. They don't have to tune in. Why do we always say tune in? Do we say
download?
Tune in?
I don't think so. Catch us
download
next
us
time
next
is usually
time.
What
catch,
I say. Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Catch us next time on Herding Code when you'll hear John Galloway say,
"They shut down the main reactor. We destroyed the shore. This is madness."
Well, this is great. I mean, honestly, I've heard about Nancy a lot. I've read blog posts, but I didn't have anything kicking me in the butt to actually, like, you know, file a new project and dig into the documentation a bit. So this was a cool opportunity to kind of force me to do that. So looks really cool.
It's good that you needed to be forced to use our framework. That's much appreciated.
Well, you know how it is. There's just so many random things going on, you know.
So now we're a random framework.
Yeah,
as well.
You're
a
random.
Maybe we could get a testimonial from you to put on the website we're building.
Yeah, I'll type it up for you. I mean,
somebody from Twitter asked about tequila. I saw that one.
Yeah.
That was quite fitting considering I do most of my development when I'm drunk.
It's tequila-driven development.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's how Fluent and Hibernate came to be, too.
That might have been a little harder than tequila.
It's funny because the name is, the Twitter handle is actually Tequila Develop. And it says, "Will Nancy FX team adopt tequila-driven development in the future?" TDD.
I think we fully embrace any kind of alcoholic-based development.